Take open your Bible and turn over there if you could. Luke chapter 10 is where we will be reading from in just a moment. As I look out, we do have a number of visitors, and we are delighted that you are here. If you are from the area or just visiting from out of town, we are encouraged by your presence, and we are delighted that you take an interest in spiritual things, and we hope that you will be encouraged and benefit from our worship to our Lord this morning. As you see on the slide behind me, we are going to be talking about lessons from Christ, and this is a series that we have already started several weeks ago. We talked about prayer. This morning, we are going to be talking about service. And the whole point of these lessons from Christ is there's so many lessons that we can take from the life of Christ. How can we learn from His example? How can we apply it to our lives? And that's simply what we are going to be doing this morning as we talk about service. And when you go to a restaurant, what do you expect? And that is service. Not just any service, you're expecting and hoping for good service. And we tip the waiter or the server for that service that we receive. And you know what? I don't think there's a person here who would deny that we enjoy to be served. When others serve us and do things for us, we enjoy that. We delight in that very much. And you may feel selfish to say that I delight and I enjoy being served, but it's human nature. We enjoy when others do things for us. You know, let's say you're planning on mowing your lawn Saturday morning, and you wake up and you come out, and it's all mowed for you. Oh, man. That's not a suggestion to anyone, but man, how great would that be when you walk out and that happens? Or maybe you have a bunch of people over to your house and you come out in the kitchen and someone already washed all the dishes for you. We enjoy to be served in these many ways. And Webster defines service as to do the work that is needed. Now, that's a simple working definition. To do the work that is needed. You know, as much as we enjoy to be served, do we find the same joy in serving others? It's a question I want you to consider. Do you find as much joy when you have the opportunity to serve and do these good works that need to be done for others? You know, serving takes time. It may include a lot of effort. It may include hard manual labor on our part. But is that something that we enjoy? As Christ said in Acts 20 and verse 35, it is more blessed to give than receive. But do we understand that in our lives? Or do we have a servant's mentality? And from the life of Christ, there are many lessons. But this morning, we want to focus on this idea of service. But before we get into our main text for this lesson this morning, I want us to clarify one aspect of service. And that is that service to God comes first. And hopefully your Bibles are over to Luke chapter 10. But let's read the story of Mary and Martha, a story that illustrates this very clearly for us. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" And in this story, what do we see? Well, we see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's eager to learn from his teaching. She's on the road to discipleship, sitting at the feet of Christ. But then Martha is, you know, she's busy. She's anxious. She's doing much serving. And it's interesting to note that she's not rebuked for the serving. The service in and of itself was not a bad thing, but it was the misplaced priorities that she was rebuked for. In verse 41, we see that she's stressed. And the Lord calls her out on that. "You are anxious and troubled about many things." And I want us to make sure as we go on to this sermon, and we're going to be talking about ways that we can serve others, and we can serve our family members, we can serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to make sure one thing is clear, that our service to God comes first. And an illustration of this that I heard recently was, Some members noticed that every Sunday morning after the class would end, that the preacher's wife would go home. And it happened several weeks in a row, several months, and everyone's like, what's happening? Does she get sick? I mean, is there something going on? And they just found out that she was going home to prepare a meal. And she did not return after that. Let's make that clear. Was she doing a good thing? Did she have great intentions? Was she trying to feed many people and doing great things from that? Yes, her service was great. Her good deeds were great. But she missed an opportunity to sit at and listen and partake of the Lord's Supper. She was forsaking the assembly of the saints together. And what a sad illustration that is. And I want us to make sure as we get into the sermon on service that we make sure that our service to God always comes first. Service to God trumps everything in our lives. That we are not Martha, anxious and worried about many things that we forget to serve our Lord. And so I wanted to just make sure that we don't miss the forest for the trees. Make sure that we remember the big picture here. But service is something that we see many times in the New Testament. When we step back, we see it used many times throughout the New Testament, but it's based off the example of our Lord. We see Christ serving at many aspects of His life. But what caused Christ to serve? Why was He such a servant? We say He had a servant's mentality. Why was that? Well, it was based off of His love. Consider Mark 10, verses 44 through 45, and the same passage is found in Matthew 20 and verse 28, where it says, "And whoever would be first among you, you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Love was the driving force that brought our Savior to the earth and eventually to the cross. Service was at His core. And we could go to many passages that show Christ serving, such as Luke 22 and verse 27, where Christ says, "For who is the greater, one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." Christ had no problem taking the lowly role of a servant in His life. And again, so many passages we go to illustrate that. We won't do that. I'll encourage you to get a handout in the back if you didn't earlier and look up those passages in your own time. But we see that there is much in the New Testament about service, but again, it is all taken from the example of our Lord. But not just that we can learn from, not just from these other passages or can we go to and learn about service, but mainly from the life of Christ. And I said that we're going to be talking about service this morning. What event from the life of Christ, aside from His death, I think that's kind of an obvious one where Christ took on the role of a servant, as Brother Jerry read in the Lord's Supper, Isaiah 53, the role of the suffering servant. But aside from the death, what event sticks out in Christ's life, in His ministry and teaching examples that He does as the ultimate sign of service? Well, if you've already read ahead on the handouts, you know, so I guess you cheated, but it's Christ in Luke and John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, where Christ takes on the ultimate role of a servant, and He washes His disciples' feet. And so let's get this text in front of us, and let's read John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. I know that's a bit of a longer reading, but it's an important one, especially as this is where we are going to be making our application for today. John 13, beginning in verse 1. Please have a Bible and follow along with me as we read the Word of God. It says in verse 1 of John 13, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside His outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Verse 8, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. Verse 12, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And we'll stop there. What a great illustration, what a great example we see from our Lord of service, washing his disciples' feet. And there are many specific details that are included in this account from John's gospel. In verses 4 and 5, what we see is Christ getting up from supper. He just takes the time, he takes the time out, and he gets up. He gets the basin, fills it with water, and he goes to wash the disciples' feet. And when you read about customs of foot washing in the Jewish culture in the first century, the disciples of Christ, they would have had no problem washing Christ's feet. They were in the student-master relationship. It was normal for a student to wash the master's feet. But then for a student to wash his peer's feet was something unheard of. That was too low. It would have been just a huge shaming for the person who did that. And so that's why we don't see one of the disciples, you know, raising his hand, volunteering, okay, I'll go around and wash everyone's feet. That was not customary for that to happen. But then we see Christ, that didn't stop him. But this act of foot washing was reserved for the lowest of servants. In fact, in some Jewish records that I found by Josephus, for instance, he said that Jews insisted that Jewish slaves not even be allowed to wash another man's feet, but only Gentile slaves. This was the lowest of the low could wash people's feet. Not even Jewish slaves. Gentile slaves had to do this. And yet, what do we see our Savior doing? Getting down and washing everyone's feet. And then in verses 6 and 9, 6 through 9, we can see Peter's reaction. When he just says, Lord, do you wash my feet? Lord, who are you? You're the master. You're the teacher. This is awkward. The roles should be reversed right now. And I had a good illustration of this when we were back here a couple of months ago in August, and we were working on the house and painting inside, and Brother Bobby was there. And he said he wasn't much of a painter. And so he said, is there something else we could do? And so we let him do a couple of other tasks, but after that, it took him 5 minutes. And next thing I know, I see this elderly man outside in 95-degree weather. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, mowing in slacks and a long-sleeve shirt, dripping sweat. And it's just an uncomfortable feeling. What are you doing? No, I should be the one out there. And we can relate to Peter's reaction. Lord, you wash my feet? You're the Messiah. But what an impression he's leaving on them. And then in verse 12, when Christ says to them, do you understand what I have done to you? Disciples in no way could have fully understood what Christ had just done. They may have understood on the surface of what he was talking about, that one of them was going to betray. That would have made sense a couple of days from now. But even greater in the years and weeks and months to come, they would have realized that this foot washing example that he did was more than just washing their feet. It was setting the stage for his death, the ultimate act of service. And this text, as some would say, is a pregnant passage. There is so much in John chapter 13, and this is where I want to spend the rest of our time this morning, making application. Where can we find the lessons from Christ? Again, this is the whole point of this series. And first is, we follow Christ's example. And that's what Christ wants us to take away from this experience. He says it for us. John 13 and verse 15. When he says, "For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." What an example that must have been for them. What an impression that would have left on their minds. But also, what an example and impression that should leave in our minds today as followers of Christ. One of the verses that really sticks out in my mind is verse 12. Can you imagine John chapter 12? I mean, 13 and verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he resumed his place. Just pause right there. So you're a disciple of Christ. He's the master. And there's kind of this pause before supper really starts. And he, you know, takes off his garments, goes down, washes everyone's feet. And you're just sitting there, you know, probably looking around at your other apostles like, "Bartholomew, why didn't you say something?" Just kind of like, the master is down here doing this. And then he gets up and resumes his place at the table. What an awkward feeling that I wasn't the one that stepped up and did anything. That the master is the last one to join everyone else because he's too busy serving. But why did he do that? Well, that's because he was leaving them an example. In verse 2 and in verse 4, this text is specifically there to show us that supper was interrupted. The disciples were going about their business, but Christ put it to a halt. He made sure he had their attention to show them, hey, this is what you need to do. Jesus, after waiting, took the place of a servant. And in John 13, 12 and 14 says, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." And for us, what we need to take away from this is one of the most powerful teaching tools that we have today is not our words, but our actions. My parents could have told me what to do time and time again, but when I saw them do it, you know what? That sticks with me to this day. And that's what Christ is doing with his apostles, with his disciples. He is showing them how they need to live their lives. And for us, what does that mean? Well, we need to serve today. Now, a question we need to ask ourselves is, have we learned from this example of Christ? I have this as the first point because I think it's one of the most important ones today. Follow Christ's example. Do you follow Christ's example? Are you serving others? Are you going out of your way to wash someone's feet? Not literally, but how are you washing someone's feet? Back in Arkansas, when Haley and I were there, we were fortunate enough to be in charge of the Vacation Bible School there. And the series this last year was Complete in Christ. And we got to pick out five lessons, really, from the life of Christ, similar to what we're talking about today. And one of those lessons was on service. And so the text was John 13, and what we decided, and one of the teachers actually set up with us, was the kids got to practice this. In a very uncomfortable way, the teacher was the first one, and the teacher washed the students' feet of those little kids. And you talk about an uncomfortable feeling for all of those kids. First, it was the fight to get them to take their shoes off. You know, some little kids are like, "Oh, sure," and they kick those off. Some are like, "I'm not taking these socks off." But the teachers made them do it. They washed their feet. And you know what? What's going to happen? Well, when those kids who are now 5, 6, 8, 10, some of them were even in middle school who had to do this. You know, when they're 30 years old, they're going to remember that time that a teacher got down and washed their feet. They're going to remember that example. But what stuck with me most from that experience and having the kids wash one another's feet after the teacher kind of set it in motion. They didn't have time for the teacher to do all of them, but they got to help out. was afterwards they had a little foot that was cut out, and it was basically, how can you serve? How can you wash someone's feet? And the answers that those kids came up with, when you walked in the classroom, you saw the board of all the ways they came up with that they could serve, even though for some of these ways they weren't old enough yet. But this is what they said. They said serving publicly in church, writing cards, cleaning the building, preparing the Lord's Supper and cleaning up the Lord's Supper, helping or teaching with Bible classes, going to visit the sick, inviting people out for food. It's funny that they put that one down, even though they're not the ones paying, but that's free. It's showing hospitality, taking meals to someone who is sick, visiting people in the hospital, calling someone to show them that you care, helping someone move, talking about life, and just showing interest in others. From the mouth of babes, we find some of the purest things, that they truly have this mind where they want to follow Christ's example and serve. So again, I ask you, have you learned from Christ's example? Are you following this example in your life? Are you finding ways to serve? Because when we love like Christ, surely we can serve like Christ. John 15 and verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." When we seek to imitate and learn from the example of Christ, it will allow us to serve no matter how much it may cost us, no matter how much time it may take up in our lives, because we're striving to follow the example of Christ. Second, put service over self. We need to act like a servant. We need to wear a mindset of humility on us at all times. You know, Jesus was not worried about his reputation when he got to the ground and washed his disciples' feet, even though, as the customs will show, he should not have been doing that. That didn't stop him. He went down and washed their feet. It speaks to Christ's role as a servant. In John 13 and verse 3, when Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going back to God. That's a really subtle verse that John sneaks in there, talking about the things that are about to come in Christ's life, but it also shows us what about Christ. Well, it's his deity. That this man is the Son of God, and yet here he's washing their feet. He acted like a servant. And we read about this more in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. We could really read the whole first part of that chapter, where it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And Christ put on that attitude of a servant that allowed him to go to the cross, to take that low role, even if it meant people looking at him shamefully. Christ was a servant because he had that great humility. And there's a song in the blue supplemental books. I don't believe we have these here. But it's number 97, and it's called the Servant Song. It's not the song we're going to sing, or did sing, 97. But it goes like this. It says, "Make me a servant just like your son. For he was a servant, please make me one. Make me a servant, do what you must do. To make me a servant, make me like you." Verse 2, "Make me a servant, take all my pride. For I would be lowly, humble inside. Giving to others with all that I do. In love for my brother, make me like you." Verse 3, "Make me a servant filled by your might, and may all my labors shine with your light. Show me your footsteps in what I should do, for now and forever make me like you." And what a beautiful song that is. How we can learn from Christ's example as a servant, to put on that humility in our lives, to make us servants just like your son. And as the song says, "Make me a servant, take all my pride." And sometimes that's exactly what needs to happen in our lives. Take all my pride. Make me a servant. No, washing feet was a nasty job. I think about when I go out and I mow the lawn, and it's practically dirt on our, it's not even grass, but dirt just flies up and it goes through my shoes, and I take off my socks, and my feet are just black. Can you imagine those shoes, the shoes that the apostles were wearing in first century time? They didn't have the lace-up, you know, Nikes, the Adidas, just something to basically take off the rock. Say when you step on a rock, it doesn't hurt. Just something real light. Their feet would have been caked with dust and dirt. I mean, what a filthy thing to get down and wash someone's feet. But you know what? When it comes to serving others in your life, washing someone's feet for you may be, you know, taking time out of your day. Maybe writing a card for someone that maybe has treated you poorly in the past. We need to make sure that we can put service over ourselves, that we can set our pride off to the side and follow Christ's example and serve others. While disciples were ready to fight for a throne, they were not ready to fight for a towel. And I hope that is not the case for us. May God help us all to wear a servant's mentality. And lastly, serve everyone. Have you ever stopped to consider in John 13 whose feet Jesus is washing? So we read he's washing, he's with the 12. He's with the 12 apostles before his death and before his resurrection. So who would have been that 12 that's there? You know, Peter, you know, all those guys that we like. But Judas was there too. And John 13 and verse 2 is very clear to make sure that we don't forget that. He's mentioned by name. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And I hope that you mark that in your Bible. Put a little asterisk next to it, highlight it, do whatever you need to do to remember when you read this passage on service. And yes, there are so many things that we can learn from Christ. We need to have humility that Christ had, but also remember that we need to serve everyone. Remember who is there in this chapter. Judas, the man who was about to betray Christ and hand him over to be crucified. You know, when someone harms us, when someone hurts our feelings at church, it's hard for us to look someone else in the eyes. You know, we avoid eye contact with people who hurt us. Try washing their feet. How easy would that be? Someone who maybe you know that has said nasty things, is gossiping about you behind your back, try taking them a meal. How easy is that going to be? You know, it's easy to think of ways to not serve people because of things they've done to us or how it affects us. We don't see that with Christ. He served everyone. In Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22, it says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." Now, I want us to understand, we don't serve our enemies as a form of revenge. That, you know, by doing good to someone, oh, this is going to make them mad. No, but this is what Christ expects from us. Well, God's Word tells us we're supposed to treat our enemies in this manner. But also because while doing good to someone, you don't know how their heart is going to respond to that. I've heard of many cases where there is an unbelieving spouse or an unfaithful spouse. And so the members of that church will just overwhelm that person with love. They will kill them with kindness. Drown them in their love. Send them, you know, there's a lady who was pregnant at this last church and everyone just sent her stuff and her husband was unbelieving and he thought this church was just, you know, a cult. These people weren't real. They were fake. And the members just, I mean, meals for months just came in. And this guy's like, man, these people are for real. You don't know how your service can affect others when you shine light into their life. When people have never felt the love of a local congregation and aren't sure what church is all about, and then all of a sudden they see people serving not just their own brothers and sisters, but they see people serving the community. Wow. What a difference that can make. But again, serving people we like is easy. Serving our family members is easy. Serving our brothers and sisters here most of the time is easy, and hopefully it is. But what about our enemies? The people who really get under our skin? Remember Christ serving Judas here. Jesus knew that he was about to die and what was ahead of him, but yet that did not stop him from washing everyone's feet. In Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 8, it says, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Again, Christ washing the disciples' feet, what an act of service that was. How Christ was serving everyone, even Judas who was there, but it was setting the stage for something even greater to come. And that is his death on the cross, where he gave the ultimate example of service and also serving everyone, even people who were sinners and mocked him on the cross. He died for them. God sent his only son to die on the cross. Even though the people who are mocking him, he died for them. And in our lives today, we need to do our best to serve everyone, even people that may be our enemies, because you know what? Christ died for that person too. And we need to do our best to show his love for them and serve everyone. I hope that this has been a valuable lesson for you. As we are, again, studying these lessons from Christ, learning from the life of Christ, there are so many lessons that we can take and that we can apply to our lives, but service is definitely an important one for us all. Christ was the ultimate servant. Again, Isaiah 53, that was read before the Lord's Supper this morning, is known as the suffering servant chapter. And he suffered death on a cross in one of the most humiliating ways possible for sinners like us, all of us who are sinners, to go to heaven. If we would render obedience to him. What that requires from us is that we need the blood of Christ in order to have our sins washed away, to be made whiter than snow. That means that we have to believe in him, understanding that he is the Son of God, putting our faith, our trust, and our hope in him. Making that confession, repenting of the sins in our life, and being baptized into his name, that our sins can be washed away. If there's anyone here who would like to be baptized in the name of Christ, we'd love to help you with that this morning. Or maybe there are some here who need the prayers of the brethren on your behalf. Whatever we can do to assist you, please don't hesitate to come forward as we stand and sing the songs like that.